What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. The history the government hopes you never learn. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
Welcome back to our show, hour number two. The phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. There are callers on the line, and we're talking with Jim in Brooklyn, who was regaling us with a story about seeing a junkie just basically tearing herself up with all the injections. And I used to see this kind of stuff when I lived in North Hollywood, and it really is very, very ugly. And most people, until they're made aware of what it is they're looking at, they can be pretty oblivious to what's going on.
Yeah, I want to mention one more thing about switching the language around on these language jargon, these people who change the language around to their favor. You know, they have this thing about a woman's right to choose.
Mm-hmm.
I once did something that had me followed around. I don't go into the details of how I knew. I was followed around by the FBI for about a week. And you know what happened? I was on Twitter, and I saw all these. I started looking at all these pro-abortion women, including this one that was very famous. She has a blog from Texas. Her name was Marquette, Amanda Marquette. Anyhow, she had all these people following her and all that stuff. So I sent out like a hashtag spam to all of her followers and her, and I said, I support an abortion clinic bomber's right to choose.
Well, I could see why the FBI was following you around after that one. And
yeah, I wasn't really threatening anyone, but I was trying to be cute with them with their own joke, you know what I mean?
Well, I'll tell you what you probably could have done and would have worked a lot better is say, I support a father's right to choose.
Yeah, that was,
you know,
yeah.
Yeah, because now I can see there are times and circumstances under which abortion is necessary. Where I have a problem with it is, you know, people who don't want to take responsibility for their own sexuality are just using it as retroactive birth control. And I do have a serious, serious problem with that. And in the case of where you have a marriage, where a man and a woman have gotten married, I mean, a real man and a real woman who are capable of having offspring, and they married with the understanding that offspring, that they were going to have children, that it was going to be a regular family with children. And all of a sudden, the woman changes her mind. And the husband is supposed to just go along with that and not have an argument or not have anything to say about it. I have a problem with that one as well.
I just to close out one last thing, response to what you just said. I once heard somebody very astutely mention that the entire beginning of this whole problem with the sexual revolution and all the problems that stem from it up until today began with birth control pills. I'm not sure. It sounded pretty right on. Not the 100%, but it sounded pretty accurate. Birth control pills, as good as they might be in certain individual cases, rarely. He said that was the beginning of the whole what we call revolution.
Well, I'm not sure that the sexual revolution or birth control itself is necessarily a bad thing, given that there is a population problem. My concern is with people who don't want to be bothered with the pill or birth control, and they just go out and they have a lot of fun, and you know, then nature happens, and they say, well, I'll just go down to Planned Parenthood and have this thing sucked out of me. And as I said before, if there is a partner, a married partner, a spouse, that wanted to have children, shouldn't they have some say in whether or not that baby lives or dies?
And a lot of people don't realize that Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood, was held aloft by Adolf Hitler as an example of one way to control populations. Adolf Hitler held Margaret Sanger in reverence.
Yes, absolutely. And Margaret Sanger was also very racist. She started Planned Parenthood with the idea of thinning out the black part of the population.
And I'm sure you heard about that Project Veritas, where they caught the abortionists saying that they would be willing to take money to abort only black babies. You heard about that with
I heard about that one.
Okay, listen, I enjoyed the conversation. Hopefully we'll have more good things to talk about, and have a good day.
All right, thanks an awful lot. We're going to switch over to Mark in North Carolina. Thank you for waiting patiently. Mark, what's on your mind?
Mike, you mentioned about Del Bigtree.
Yes.
I didn't know that. You know, we got to understand something. This is not just about money. When it comes to hydroxychloride, whatever it's called, okay?
Hydroxychloroquine.
Chloroquine. It's about control, right? These people want this disease to continue because they want to scare us. into giving up our rights, our freedoms, and everything else. We're all connected, Mike. This guy was talking about somebody gets their, you know what, cut off or something like that. This stuff is all connected. These technocrats, that's exactly what they want. They want an end to the human race. And by the way, I believe the idea of the mask is basically a ritualistic thing to the Illuminati. The Illuminati is really, you could call them New World Order, Illuminati, whatever else. These technocrats are really part of the Illuminati, and the Illuminati is very ritualistic, probably because they're basically devil worship. Whether you believe in the devil or not, they certainly do. And it's supposed to represent no more carbon dioxide into the air. So now we're going to shut your mouth and have masks over them. You can't breathe any more carbon. Okay? It's a really ritualistic thing. I've come to that conclusion. There is no question. These people are outright evil. Like, they wouldn't be doing this. YouTube, Google, Facebook, Twitter, knocking these doctors off their channel, and now knocking off a man like Del Bigtree off. But we can't let them let this happen. There's BitChute out there. There's DLive. There's other avenues. We must stop these people, Mike. These people are outright evil. I don't care if you're left, right, center, whatever you are, black, white, brown. That's why I was talking yesterday about the stupidity of people, turning on each other because of some silly thing like race, which means nothing. We've got to start understanding the enemy. And it's once you understand it, it's easy to defeat them because there are only a few of them. They're a bunch of elitists. Nobody likes them. I personally believe there has to be trials for them, too. I believe their heads need to be cut off in public, much like they did in, you know, with the guillotine. I believe in the law. I say, you know, give them a quick trial, and then just like they did during the French Revolution, guillotine them right on the street, in public, on TV, and on their precious internet. Okay? So this way, anybody in the future understands, because these people don't stop. They've been going around doing this since at least the 1700s. Okay?
No, they're convinced they're right. They're convinced they're smarter than everybody else, and they're convinced that being wealthy or powerful gives them a right to make decisions for other people. Obviously, you and I disagree with that.
Yeah, they also want to turn themselves into robots and get rid of the rest of us. There's no question. They pretty much admit it. They are evil to the max. And unless we stop them, and we got it, and the way to stop them is to have knowledge, to understand what they're doing, and support other, other networks like BitChute. Because if we don't stop them, they are going to destroy us. They're using this virus, whatever it is, as a weapon, all right? As a weapon of control. And by the way, Dustin, listen to me a second, Dustin, okay? You're helping these people when you contribute to your nonsense about masks, about the importance of wearing masks and his stupid social distancing, right? You're helping the enemy, and that's what they are. Now, I'm not saying that the virus doesn't exist. I see Herman Cain totally fell to it today.
Yes.
Herman Cain had many underlying problems. Okay, he had serious cancer some years ago. He had stage 4 cancer, I think, of the colon and the liver, and they had to do a lot of things that probably destroyed much of his immune system. On top of that, I understand he had other problems too. Alex Jones was talking about it today, other severe medical problems like lungs and all that. It wasn't that he was a healthy guy. He wasn't. Okay, it's a shame. I miss him. The guy was a good guy. Okay. But they're already using it for a fear factor, okay? And on top of that, they had him on a ventilator. It wouldn't surprise me if hydroxychloride couldn't have saved his life, okay, instead of putting him on a ventilator. But I think these evil slime wanted his head because they wanted prominent African-American conservatives and say to see, there it is. You know, And I understand he went to Trump's rally there in Oklahoma, which probably yes. was a mistake, because if you got the kind of problems he's got, on top of that, his age and all the problems he's got, he shouldn't have gone to something like that, okay? But the fact of the matter is, I'll bet you hydroxychloride could have helped him. But instead, they stuck him in a ventilator, which is a murder machine. That's all it is. It's a murder machine, Mike.
If it's not set correctly, it can cause a lot more damage than it does good.
Exactly. We got to wake up, Mike. We got to wake up and understand who the enemy is. We got to defeat this enemy. This is a dangerous, insidious, I don't know whether I'm going to say outer worldly. You know, I'm not David Icke. I don't know if I believe that, you know, these lizard people from another dimension. I don't know if I believe that stuff. But I do believe these people are evil to the max.
Yes. Okay?
They're just as evil as Hitler. I always say Gates is just as evil as, or just about as evil as Hitler, and way more dangerous. Way more dangerous. And, Mike, that's all. I'm just so disgusted. I got to find out where else I can get Big Tree now that he's off of YouTube. Okay? Hopefully he's on BitChute or something. So
well, I imagine he's going to find some way to get back on there. And, again, we're starting to see a lot of social media startups. We just need to popularize them. We need to get out there and just say, look, try this other one over here. There's this other search engine that works a lot better, like DuckDuckGo, you know. And,
yeah, DuckDuckGo. I use DuckDuckGo for my search engine. I got rid of Google, okay? More
yes.
people got to do that. You don't need Google. I get just as good search for DuckDuckGo as I used to get for Google. As a matter of fact, better. Because DuckDuckGo doesn't play the games Google does, okay? There's no reason to have to use Google anymore. And we can get rid of all the others, too. The only good thing about YouTube is I can get it on my TV. I can't get these other things on my TV. I have to go to my computer for, BitChute and stuff like that. I haven't figured out. Maybe there is no way to get it on TV yet. I don't know. You have to go through Apple TV.
The key word is yet. The key word is yet.
Yeah. And we got to do something about Apple, too. Personally, Mike, I wouldn't be upset if China decides to just grab everything Apple, all their factories and whatever else they got out there in China, and tell Apple to go, you know what, themselves. Okay, I wouldn't blame China at all if they did that. You know, anything to destroy these corporations, these big, vicious, predatory corporations, Mike. They are the enemy of the people. These billionaires are the enemy of the people. At least most of them are. Okay.
Okay,
these
Mark.
Technocrats. Yeah.
We got a comment from our Mike in our control room saying that you can always run an HDMI cable from your computer to the TV if you want to watch Brighteon and YouTube, you know, on the big screen.
Well, I got YouTube. I just don't get the, I can't get like...
No, I said YouTube. YouTube. N-E-W-T-U-B-E. It's another one. It's a video
BNT,
platform.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, but it's a competitor. It's a direct competitor.
Right. Oh, yeah, that's right. Ryan Dawson said he's on there now. That's right.
Yes.
I forgot about that. Okay. Yeah, all right. I'll try. What do I need? What kind of cable?
HDMI.
Cable?
Yeah, it's the standard high-def cable.
Okay. All right, I'm going to try that. All right?
Okay.
I appreciate that. I really do, Mike. All right. So,
anything else?
That's about it. That's it, Mike. I tell you, I hope Dustin will decide to answer what I just said, okay? Because again, Dustin, you're helping me. Okay, thanks. Appreciate it. Take it easy, Mike.
All right, thanks an awful lot, Mark. We're going to let you go and switch over to Tom in Florida. Hello, Tom. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Wow, man, that was pretty wild. Yeah, good day, Michael. First off, did Mark, the caller, Herman Cain did have diabetes also. That's really was a big contributor to why he died.
Yes.
More like. So let's go back to the other caller after that. The caller before that, I don't know if he remembers or you remember, Michael, in Podesta, when Trump won the election that night, he was almost basically crying. Him and his brother are in the devil worshiping, the Podesta brothers. Well, one of them definitely was in the devil worshiping. And they'll do like, what's his name said, they'll do anything to take down Trump with their evil black magic and all this nonsense. And to that other caller, he made a great point about something. Caller before Mark, he said something. You remember, Michael, when we were kids, when you would go to the movie theater and had intermission?
Yes.
And they had subliminal message playing it up on the screen, and they would actually tell you, go get some popcorn, go get some candy, go get your soda. You make sure you get a large soda. Like he said, subliminally flash that in little kids' brain, and the kids actually, well, you know, he was making a point, Mike, about the subliminals that they do with language. How these leftists manipulate all these white people to vote Democrat is by language, the language, how they manipulate the language to put guilt on you. So I just want him to throw that out there. Now, listen, like, here's what I'm really going to get off my chest. I'm going to get, let's go back to yesterday's call with Paul. I want to get Paul some facts, and Paul needs to do his figures. Okay, Paul, and when I'm done, I'm pretty sure you're going to call in. I hope you do. I'm going to give you some facts, Paul. When the McDuffie riots happened, Paul, you told me 18 people were murdered. Paul, do you know that was the first day of the riots? Paul, 600 people were wounded, and after a two-year period, a lot of those people were dying. So that figure came up to 70. That's how I got to the figure of 70. Someone, the Herald, did a report 2 years later after the McDuffie riots. Paul, over $110 million was damaged in the Dade County area alone, Paul. $110 billion. Okay? Now, here's what I'm going to tell Paul about the Civil War before I go to Andersonville. I want to tell him about this, Mike. In 1992, when we had Hurricane Andrew, the Miami Herald, the federal government under George Bush, did not tell you the true facts of all the people who got killed in that hurricane. We had a Mexican migrant camp down in Homestead, Florida City area, where they say over 200 people got wiped out in their mobile homes. We had a trailer park down the street from where I'm at. It was called Blue Lakes. Over 38 people got blown away in their mobile home that stayed in that trailer park, Paul. But you believe anything the government's telling you, Paul? Paul, you want to tell me I don't know my figures and I better get my facts straight? Well, I'm going to give you a fact, Paul. Yes, you were right about Andersonville, Paul. You were right. At that one, in that camp, they had over 40, almost, it was close to 46,000 people were in that camp. What I meant to say is over 211,000 prisoners of war of Yankees were in prison in the South and mainly in Georgia. Okay, Paul? But, Paul, let's talk about what you really need to know. You know who was a bigger butcher than the Civil War in the South? Was the North. You know, New York, Paul, in the state of New York, they had a big prison camp, and they killed thousands and thousands of Confederate soldiers, and they starved them to death. They did the same thing in Douglas, Fort Douglas in Chicago. They starved were the Confederate soldiers to death. Abraham Lincoln knew about it, but Stratton, why don't you do a story about Stratton? Stratton, the guy was under the war commissioner under Abraham Lincoln, what he did to the Confederate men. He did more horrific stuff to the South than the South did to the North, Paul. And then you want to talk about Tecumseh William Tecumseh Sherman? Paul, he was a teacher at Louisiana State University, LSU, Paul. He did spend a lot of time in Georgia. He had a place in Georgia, believe it or not. I don't know how long he stayed. I believe he stayed there 2 years. But William Tecumseh Sherman was a total butcher the way he went about that war. If Nathan Bedford Forrest, Paul, would have done the same tactic or Jefferson Davis was thinking about doing, because Jefferson Davis, after all, didn't get caught until like months after the war ended, Paul. And if Nathan Bedford Forrest, when he became the Klansman, Paul, which were Democrats, Paul. And I want to ask you one more thing, Mike. Well, there's a few things I want to ask. I want to know what Dustin, Paul, and how they're going to vote in this election. And who do they think should be president? I would like to call them out on that. Or are they going to even vote at all? Because I think Dustin said he wouldn't even vote at all. So what good is his vote? Because he's not going to even vote. So I guess maybe Paul the same way. He don't, you know, but, you know, Paul makes some good points. He made some really good points yesterday, I must say that. But when he's going to call me out, telling me that, I'm sorry about the Andersonville fact. So actually, Andersonville, Mike, only had 33,700 in the camp at only one time. But almost 46,000 actually went through the camp itself. But they traded a lot of prisoners back and forth between the North and the South. Thousands and thousands of prisoners were being swapped out. When the war ended in the Civil War, Mike, all those Southern men that were in Douglasville Prison in Chicago, Paul, had to walk their butts back down to the South. They have a trail. I forgot the name of it, Mike. But from Chicago going back down to Tennessee, down to Alabama, down to South Carolina, down to Florida, a lot of Confederate soldiers literally had to walk, Mike, back to the South to set up their cities and their monuments. Hang on.
Okay. Tom, got to take a break. I'm going to put you on hold. We'll be back after these few words.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company? And it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks.
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
Welcome back to our show here. We're talking with Tom in Florida. And Tom, if you could kind of pick up where you left off.
Yes, sir. Michael, first off, I want to follow up and realize this. There was 409,000 Union and Confederate troops caught in the Civil War. 409,000. It could be a little higher, but that's what they basically got in the archives. Also, I want Paul to know this, that Andersonville, if you ever go there to Georgia, Andersonville, I've been there, it's free. You don't have to pay a dime to go into the complex there to see the monuments and stuff. It's a pretty amazing place to visit. And but going back to that, Michael, the North, they won the war, so they wrote the history. But they don't tell you what the wickedness they pulled. And also, I want Paul to know this. There's a city called Jackson, Mississippi, Paul. You know what they called it? You know what they called it? Chimneyville? Paul, does he have any? Paul, Michael, you have any idea what they called Jackson, Mississippi, Chimneyville, after the Civil War?
No, I don't. Enlighten us.
Because the only thing left in those, all those houses, all those people lived in, was their cement chimneys that the people, the brick chimneys, were standing.
There were, you mean chimney? Brick
chimneys. Yes, chimneys, like a chimney with a fireplace.
Yeah, chimney.
Yes, they called it, okay. Chimneyville. Yeah, exactly. That's why they called it that, because Sherman was ruthless. What he did to the civilian population to win the war, he actually got ruthless as all get out. Because, but see, Mike, the Civil War nobody's talking about is that if Bedford Forrest or either the Confederates would have done that, and by the way, Michael, during the Civil War, only one person was ever held for crime for war crimes, and that was the guy at Andersonville.
Yeah,
the the commandant of Andersonville. He's the only one that was hung by a rope. None of the Yankee Union soldiers, commanders, were ever hung for their what they did to the Confederate troops in New York, Chicago, all over, Jersey, all over. They had prison camps all up in the north, too. But nobody has ever talked about that. So they basically got off of their war crimes. And it was perpetrated on both sides. So, and getting back to Paul, I want Paul to know this real quickly. When Hurricane Andrew hit in South Florida, like I told you, there's a big migrant camp out here in the south end of South Dade. And that camp got blown away, Mike. And I have a bunch of my friends were telling me, and these are law enforcement, they had tractor trailers down there, ice refrigerated trucks, putting all the bodies in. And they never said anything in the Miami Herald. Just like they told Paul's calling in saying only 18 people were killed in the McDuffie riot. Well, you know, that's a darn lie, Mike. How did 600 people, over 600 people, according to Herald, got hurt viciously, very badly, and only 18 died? That was on the first day, Paul. 18 people died on the first day. They didn't talk about all the people. Some people actually got burnt to death in their cars, Mike. Okay?
Yeah.
Some people were literally burnt to death. I know one guy whose uncle was smashed with a Miami Herald paper rack because he's in the wrong place at the wrong time. Okay? That was a night. That was a McDuffie riot. Paul wants to know another fact I'll give him. When the Mariel Boatlift here happened here in South Florida, Paul, I would like you to research that, and you tell me your numbers, and I'll call you back the next day to tell you what I think. Because when the Mariel Boatlift, when Castro flooded this place, when he flushed the toilet over there, how many murders do you think we had the first year they were here, Paul? How many homicides were in Dade County? They made a movie called Scarface. You ever see the movie, Paul? You should watch the movie. It's fictitious. It's fiction compared to what was really happening during that time. I remember it was like it was a second ago. It's like I remember Hurricane Andrew. I was in the eye of it. I saw a tower that was 150 feet high, Michael, crumble like a toothpick. When it hit the ground, the whole neighborhood shook. Okay? So, you know, and the guy's telling me I don't know. I better get my facts. Well, you know, maybe I lost the facts on Andersonville. I'm sorry. But what I actually meant to say was there was over 209,000 prisoners of war caught by the Union, by the Confederate Army that was holding Union soldiers in the South. And the South had 194,000 Confederate troops held in the North. So, you know, the facts ain't always what they may be, but then again, the facts are being written by the ones who win the wars. You ever see, basically like in the beginning of Braveheart, history is written by those who basically win at,
yes.
You know, how it goes. So, but you know, going back to, and Paul made some great points yesterday. Don't get me wrong. He really did. He hit some things that were pretty right on the money. I got to tell you, you know, Paul's right. A lot of these disenfranchised Democrat voters, they should start thinking, you want to be with Black Lives Matter? You want to be with Antifa that's trying to destroy our Constitution? Seriously? You people never lived a hard life. They never had to worry about none of these white kids that are doing all this protest and never had to miss a meal. They can go to Burger King. They get fast food. They can go get their mommy to buy them a steak dinner. None of these people had to live in one of these third world countries where you're lucky to get a chicken a week. You're lucky if you got a bowl of bean soup. And you never get soft bread. It's all hard bread. The bread's like a rock. After 1 hour, forget it. It's unbelievable. So, you know, hearing these people calling your show and this and that. And so we need to all get along. And like that one call you had, Mike, talking about how they use the language against us. That's exactly what the left does. They use the language. They twist words. Mike, we're trying to put Ebonics in some of these universities. I think Rutgers is trying to say that you need to learn to speak through Ebonics. Yeah, but you know what I mean? What's going on with that, Mike?
I thought Ebonics had gone away. I really did. Anyway, listen, we're at the end of the segment here, and I've got other callers waiting on the line, Tom, so I'm going to have to let you go here. We're going to take a break for commercials. We've got other callers waiting on the line, and we will be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Mm-hmm. extend your life with Extendovite.
After about a month of Extendovite, I don't know what it is about the circulation factor. I was able to increase the weight, increase the amount of sets I could do. It has to do with the oxygen getting to the blood. You should market this as an athletic performance. And I don't change anything about my diet or anything. I just thought, this is amazing. Bilberry extract has got something called resveratrol in it, which is the same stuff that you get from red wine. It's also good for eyesight. And I was reading that the Royal Air Force during World War II would give their pilots bilberry jam so they could have better night vision stuff. This is amazing.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Join Mike on the air. Call toll-free 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443.
Welcome back to our show here. We're going to go back to the phones here, starting with James in Japan. Hajime mashite, James. What's on your mind today?
Hi, Mike.
James?
I'm quite worried right now. I believe that after mumbling Joe Biden drops out of the race, that you are going to utilize your show to once again spew this anti-white, anti-American propaganda. It was just a few years ago where you said that if it comes down to the white American Hillary or Godzilla, I will vote for the green Japanese lizard.
Okay. And I still would.
I know you would. So try not and do that this time around, okay?
Hey, are you saying that Godzilla wouldn't make a good politician?
Absolutely much better than Hillary. I agree with you. I'm a racist and anti-American. I totally agree with you.
We're being speciesist here.
The economy. Well, she is, I don't know, she doesn't really seem human, but it's just very, I believe that actually this is going to happen. That I just can't see him running. I can't see him getting through one debate. Anyway, I want to talk about the economy. For maybe like 20, 25 years, you might see a guy like Peter Schiff saying America's going to collapse, the dollar is going to collapse, everything's going to go away. And I think this finally got it right. I mean, you're seeing the real estate sector collapse. Pretty soon there are going to be millions and millions of evictions. Many commercial real estate, they're not paying their bills. Restaurants and restaurant chains, they're all going under. Movie theaters, entertainment venues, it's just becoming so bad. In addition, the dollar, if you've been following it, I only follow it compared to the yen because I get my income in dollars, and I've been taking a really hard hit. It's down to like 1.5 or something. It's really affecting me. And I just can't really see any type of recovery at all, unless Trump finally takes leadership and makes that hydroxychloroquine available over the counter, so people can start not being afraid to go out without wearing masks. They'll start traveling again. Actually, the refinery business, I used to be heavily invested in that. Thank God I got out. They had their worst quarter in over a decade. And the crack spreads are so low. Gasoline consumption is down over 25%. Car sales are down. It's just, unless this drug is made available over the counter and people stop being afraid and businesses can reopen without stopping here, I just can't see any economic recovery at all. And I just see a collapse of America.
It does seem like we're in a tailspin right now, and frankly, I think they've waited too long to try and pull it out. But again, you know, Peter in Los Angeles hit it right on the head. The Democrats want the fear to continue in November so that people will stay at home and vote by mail, because that's how the Democrats are planning on stealing all the elections.
Well, yeah, they're trying it right now, but that's what Peter says. But I feel actually 180% different than him. I feel that what the Democrats are doing to try and instill this fear is going to backfire on them, because I feel a lot of people are against the mask. I feel a lot of people are against Antifa, for example, like the Antifa and Black Lives Matter. They were going down in the suburbs in Oregon and were chased out by just normal people living in the suburbs, along with the police. Even the police who get these restraining orders, they're fed up too. And a lot of people are just getting fed up with it and are starting to fight back. And I think it's going to negatively affect these Democratic initiatives, and it's going to backfire on them, and it's going to be a landslide for Trump. However, I believe that landslide is going to lead to even further, harder violence.
It may. I mean, I was a little surprised by what happened back in 2016 when Trump won and just how violent it got.
Yeah, but I mean, I think it wasn't that violent, but compared to now, but it's getting a lot worse. I mean, you're seeing like using explosives with metal ball bearings and nails, and you know, these Antifa people. You know, they're trying to shoot other people, and they're shooting themselves because they're not adept with guns. But it's just becoming, I think it's becoming unbearable for a lot of people. And the stress with the whole corona just adds to more stress and more stress. And now with the economy going down, people can't work and business failures, and people are worried about being able to pay their rent or pay their mortgage. I mean, it's going to be a point of chaos, I think, unless Trump starts taking leadership and does something very, very quickly. I mean, a lot of people for a long time, they've been waiting for this Durham report and this and that.
Yes.
Nothing's being done. Nothing's being done with, the hydrochloroquine and this and that. And it's just getting, everybody is all stressed out, and it's going to explode if nothing is going to be done soon. And that's just my my opinion from a guy abroad, you know, looking from the outside.
Yeah, it does seem to be getting worse. And the part that concerns me is the longer all this violence in the streets goes on, the more and more people are going to say, well, this is now acceptable. And it's going to start spreading, you know, into non-urban areas, I think.
Well, I hope it doesn't. I really hope it doesn't for you. And
well, I'm in agreement with you. I hope it doesn't either. But, you know, we're in a situation of leading by example. And you're seeing, like, what's going on in Portland for 2 months now. And the civil authorities in Portland are saying, well, it's no big deal. And what kind of a lesson is that sending to the rest of America?
Well, I thought those were peaceful protests. They're all peaceful. Everybody says.
And I'll bet you think Saddam really did have nuclear weapons.
Yeah. Hey, that's all I have to say, Mike. And enjoy talking to you as always. And sorry I called you a racist and an anti-white, you know, person. But please forgive me, and I hope to talk to you again sometime.
Well, you know, it's not like I'm dissing Godzilla.
Well, you know, I do live in Tokyo, and you know, any kind of praise for Godzilla, I really appreciate it. So thank you very much.
Okay.
Michael. Have a-
All right, you got it there, and we're going to switch over to Dan in Washington State. Hello, Dan. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, thanks for calling or taking the call. I wanted to respond to Tom in Florida. I usually agree with him on immigration. But a lot of the callers, and, you know, there's like seems to be this need to defend the South and say it wasn't about slavery. But I encourage everyone to look into the Great Hanging of Gainesville, Texas. Have you looked into that? Where basically
not yet.
Yeah, check it out. 150 to 200 Texans, just small farmers, were against secession. And they were protesting being conscripted into the rebel army. And they were also protesting the fact that the rich slave owners didn't have to go to war. There was a law that said, I forgot how many slaves, over 40 or over 400 slaves, you didn't have to go fight in war. So it was just kind of the poor white guys, kind of like, you know, Tom or me back in the day.
Kind of like that.
Yeah, so... But yeah, 150 to 200, and they were put on trial, and only 11% of the county had slaves, but 7 out of the 12 jurors were slave owners, and they basically voted to kill them all. And so they lynched, 41 of them were hung, and the rest were lynched, basically. So, you know, that's your South. It's people make a, you know, the... I look at it like Tyson Chicken. What if Trump actually did his job and went to Arkansas and said, look, we're deporting all illegal immigrants and you're going to hire Americans? And Tyson Chicken has so much money, and they said, no, that's our right. You're violating states' rights, and then raised an army of people like Tom to go fight for the Tyson Chicken army. You know, it's the same concept. So America's... You're just fighting for cheap labor, you know what I mean? And
yes.
I've looked into it. The South had no right to secede. You know, Congress voted on it. They voted not to let them. I think eventually states might get that right.
Yeah.
Like California eventually, but technically if you go back, they did not have that right. And the South fired the first shot.
Well, it depends on who you ask. I mean, the country started as a confederation. You know, that's why it's called the United States of America rather than the United State of America.
Yeah, but they all won against supposed Britain, right? So they were all country. I mean, the thing is, voted Congress was supreme, and they voted on it, and they voted not to allow them to secede. So it was what it was. I mean, they were all one country. You know, it's just the South didn't want to give up its slaves, basically. The rich oligarchs of the South. And look at the Southern $2 bill, who they were. Judah Benjamin, you know,
yeah.
The Rothschilds. some of these same people, some of the same ones that want you to open the borders to massive cheap labor now. It's the same concept. So that's how I look at it. I'm glad Lincoln won. And the only regret I have, he should have gone after the slave owners and these oligarchs and hung them, really, the people that forced the poor people to go fight in the stupid war. A lot of them didn't even want to fight in. They should have gone after them, you know, but Lincoln got killed. And I think a lot of those people just moved to New York and became our ruling class today. It's the same, a lot of the same people that were the slave owners are running Wall Street. So, anyway, I just wanted to bring that up. So,
okay.
Checking in the Great Pain of Gainesville, Texas. So, all right, thanks.
Thanks an awful lot for the phone call. We're going to let you go and switch over to Joe in California. Hello, Joe. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Mike, I have a couple questions on the cashless society. I really am interested to hear your reply. First, can Mark from North Carolina, can he please let us know what his YouTube channel is? What is the name of his YouTube channel? Because I'd be quite interested. I agree with him a lot, I think, on Stalin. Yes, Stalin was a globalist, but he was also a monster. So let's not forget that. And Mike from Brazil, I'd like to hear from him on the situation on the ground there vis-a-vis the virus.
It's been a while since he's called in.
And, Mike, on the cashless society, you mentioned yesterday this story about that Russian hacker. He drives a Lamborghini, and he is extorting. I can't recall the company. But just imagine if we had a cashless society. Right. Just imagine if we had a cashless society. I mean, couldn't that happen where a person like this fella in Russia or anywhere else in the world hacked into a company's system and basically disabled it, and couldn't do any transactions?
Yeah.
And there was no
cash? It's already happened when ATM machines get hacked
into. I don't understand this, and this is big on the high on the agenda of the Davos elite. I mean, they're having their big January summit in Davos, the Reset Summit. So you can bet this virus is going to be continuing until January, you know, when they have this event. Also, Mike, last thing on the cashless society, one thing I don't understand is if it were to happen, how would that affect the drug trade? Because that's a cash business, you know, and the CIA is up to its eyeballs in that business. How would that affect the drug trade if you have no cash and everything is digital?
Well, there would have to be some kind of like a darknet equivalent of a cashless bank. But I think you're absolutely right. The drug business being cash and carry is one reason why I don't think we'll ever actually get to the cashless society, because too many people are involved in that drug trade. And, the other thing is, you know, when you're over at the strip club, what do you tuck into the G-strings of the dancers if you don't have a few crumpled dollar bills?
That's right. And you could still get that jelly donut without anybody knowing.
That's true. I still want that jelly donut.
You got it. Thanks, Mike.
All right. Thanks an awful lot. And I know a lot of people are saying cashless society, and now there's a coinage shortage and so forth and so on. But in the long run, because of the prevalence, if you will, of nefarious activity in our society, I don't think there'll be a cashless society. Now, obviously, the strip club, you know, they can sell you little scrip. You know, at the front door, you take your plastic card and they give you a little stack of their own internal printed up paper notes that you can tuck into the G-strings. But as far as the drug trade is concerned, it's hard to see that thing working on barter, you know, where you get yourself a tenth of an ounce of cocaine or something and you trade a stolen VCR for it or something. VCR, I'm giving my age away here. DVD player for that. Anyway, let's see. We're going to go to Sebastian in Sweden. Sebastian, hello. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, hello, Mike. You're talking about the cashless society and the drug trade. There's already a drug trade on the Internet. It's on the dark web, and they trade by using Bitcoin. What they do is they pay Bitcoin, and then they send you drugs home in the mail. I've only been on the dark web once. It was about a year or 2 years ago, and I was looking at weapons. But other than that, it was like, I know that there is a trade on the dark web.
They use the Bitcoin back and forth. But again, you know, I have to be honest, I'm not really up to date on the dark web itself and the drug trade therein. But
if
there's a way to make it work, you know, they'll make it work.
Yeah, but I would have called in that it was someone that they got the Norwegian flag mixed up with the, hello?
The Confederate flag, yeah. Stay on the line, Sebastian. Yeah. We got to take a break for commercials. We'll be back after these few words.
Did you know that you can be tracked and traced when you're online? With identity theft and cybercrimes on the rise, your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. Patriotinternet.com will bypass filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With PatriotInternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, PatriotInternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from PatriotInternet.com. Visit PatriotInternet.com today.
Extend your life with Extendovite, a 7-herb combination made from garlic, cayenne, bilberry, hawthorn, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Each herb was chosen for their abilities to help improve irregular heartbeats, chest pain, lower cholesterol, as well as normalize blood pressure and clean and strengthen arteries, plus much, much more. Doctors have taken people off of some or all of their pills just because they believe their patients got better while taking Extendivite. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Is the Second Amendment your line in the sand? Is the United States Constitution important to you? Are you worried about gun confiscation? You need to join us for free at gunconfiscation.com. At gunconfiscation.com, you will meet like-minded patriots, get the latest Second Amendment news, and find anything you need to prepare for gun confiscation. Visit gunconfiscation.com today. That's gunconfiscation.com. Which side are you on?
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
When all this twisted steel was swept away, did these remaining holes reveal what's really happened?
And welcome back to our show. We're talking with Sebastian in Sweden. We're talking about a story that we covered earlier in the show, where somebody saw the flag of Norway and confused it for the flag of the Confederacy and made a big stink about it. And again, this is what Common Core has brought us, a population that is really not very educated, but ready to just scream and shout about whatever they assume is happening in front of them. I remember this big stink that happened a while back when somebody was in a council meeting and they used the word niggardly, which means stingy, you know, tight with money. It's got nothing to do with race or slavery or anything. And everybody just went crazy. How could you use the N-word? No, that's a different N-word. No, but it sounds like it. Well, I don't care what it sounds like, but, you know, I'm not going to have my life judged by your ignorance. Anyway, Sebastian, yeah. So, yeah, that was what happened with the flag there.
Yeah, I can see I'm mistaking the Union Jack because the Union Jack looks similar, you know, with the you know, the bars going across. But what I'm going to talk about is that last year there were 3,000 incidents with Christian churches throughout Europe. And they usually attack the French, German, Great Britain, and Swedish churches. In France, there are 3 attacks daily, and in Germany, 2. And in Sweden, maybe once a week or something, not that many. I don't know how many in England. I got this statistics from the European Union, if anyone wants to know. But anyway, I kind of like, you know, Tom and Dustin and Mark and Peter and everyone, and I think they bring good points, you know. And but I miss Joe, the New Yorker that moved to Tennessee. I haven't heard him in weeks. Have you heard anything about him?
No, have not heard from him either.
Because he was like he was supposed to take a flight or something somewhere, and then going to some he's in shipping or something or another, and he was going to fly somewhere and doing the corona and. You don't hear from about him, you know. It's like it's so weird. But anyway, that's all I had, and I am worried about the elections. I think I'm 80% positive that the Democrats are going to cheat their way in this year. I don't have any doubt about that. They're going to.
I'm afraid you may be right. You know, and if they succeed in doing this, it's because Donald Trump dropped the ball on election integrity. And so, yeah, if the Democrats succeed in feeding their way into control of both houses of Congress and the White House, I blame Trump for it. He had the authority and the power to do something about it, and he didn't.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Mike. Take care of yourself.
All right. Thanks an awful lot. We're going to switch to Glenn in Philadelphia. And, Glenn, we're almost at the end of the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, Mike. I'm calling about the mail-in balloting. Mail-in votes. Talked to another host this morning who said that in Missouri they're going to require notarization of the mail-in ballots. And the very first thing I thought of is, first of all, mail-in ballots are going to, you know, be a difficulty for the post office itself, which is used to handling larger volumes of throughput and rush times and stuff like that. So it's one thing have the post office move the ballots. It's quite another to have notaries notarize the ballots. That's, you know, when people say notary,
huge workload. Look, put on your mask and go to the voting booth. You know, that's the only way we're going to have an honest election. Anyway, there's the music. I got to let you go. I got to let you go. And we had Mike from Brazil was on the line as well, so he's still around. He's going to call in tomorrow. Stay tuned for John Stadmiller. I'm sure he's got lots of interesting things to share with you. Please spread the word of RBN. Spread the word of whatreallyhappened.com. We'll see you tomorrow. Aloha, America.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.